This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
What's on your mind, Friday edition? Todd, the Radio God Mitchell, happy Friday to you.
Likewise.
Kevin Flynn, how you been?
I've been good.
Flynn, Ben?
I've been good.
You've been waiting all morning to say that. You thought of that rhyme.
I've been trying.
In like Flynn.
Dan the man. Yeah. On the phones, how you doing, Dan? You ready to go?
Hello.
He's on the phone, Scott.
Hardest working guy on radio. He's probably talking to our next guest.
Literally on the phone.
Yeah. We have a busy, busy program today. We don't always start with a guest, but we did yesterday, and we might as well do it today. Right? Right here on the program. Yesterday was Governor Burgum. Today it's Kellyanne Conway, counselor to the President of the United States, Donald Trump's top strategist. We'll chat with her in a few minutes here. Lieutenant Governor Brent Sanford will join the show to give some advice to businesses looking to reopen following the coronavirus thing. A lot of things out there right now. You got the recommendations from the White House. You have different states doing different things. So how's it going to work? One thing I know for sure, if you are not covered by an executive order, restaurants, bars, hair care, you know, personal services, those kind of things, then you can open today. Nobody's telling you can't open. Okay, now, there's recommendations out there, but we're going to get all the details on that. And anybody covered by the executive orders, they have a plan for you to work with the Commerce Department to say, here's what we're going to do. Boom, go. So we'll tell you all about that. And then Senator Kevin Cramer will join us for the full hour of the Talk Radio Town Hall. Full hour of the Talk Radio Town Hall. We got a busy one today with Senator Kevin Cramer. There's not another senator on the planet that spends an every week one full hour, sometimes more, taking your calls. Trust me. And one reason he is a senator from the great state of North Dakota is our next friend, our next guest friend, Kellyanne Conway. Welcome back, Kellyanne. How are you?
I'm great, Scotty. How are you today?
Well, I'm hanging in there. It was great. Kellyanne was the star attraction of our little listener trip to D.C. Back in December, which seems like a few, you know, generations ago now. But, it was good to see you there, and we always appreciate your help joining us on the program. Thanks so much.
Scott, I want to thank you and all the radio hosts out there for providing Americans and North Dakotans in this case with education, information, just the equipment they need to get us through this pandemic. It's been so incredibly important for people to get facts and figures and news they can use. There's such information underload, as I call it, on things that actually matter to Americans as opposed to the constant screeds and attacks and insults and attempted diminution of this president and his many accomplishments. So really want to thank you for thinking so highly of the people who listen to your show and their larger circles of life, for providing them with the information they need at a time, at an unprecedented time such as this.
Well, thank you for that. And I would also tell you, I hope you can convey to the president that the, you know, support for him in the heartland of America here. We have listeners in North and South Dakota, Minnesota, Montana, just the heartland. And their support for the president increases every single day. It's a phenomenon I've never seen in all my time in talk radio going back to 1986 and the Mark Andrews, Ken Conrad race in North Dakota.
My goodness. We're dating ourselves.
I know. But I'm telling you, the love for this president and his leadership is unending. It's incredible. And I know that sitting in the White House briefing room, he probably doesn't think that, taking pot shots from, you know, grandstanders, but please convey that.
Well, some of those folks are more concerned about their clips going viral than COVID going viral, if you will. And we know what we're focused on. So I will tell him that, and I'll tell him that I was on today. You know, Scott, the reason the president is in that briefing room, surrounded by experts and next to his vice president and bringing in different cabinet members and private sector helpers and the like, is so that Americans can get that information in real time for free. You just tune in, your radio, your TV, you could live stream it. He wants to make sure the democratization of information continues, that you don't have to access it because you're some rich donor or because you have a special access package on a cable network. No, he's there sometimes for hours at a time, Scott, to make sure people have the information that they need, not just that they desire, but they need to remain safe, to remain sane, to understand what maybe happens next. And I think one of the most important and unique dimensions of this COVID-19 problem and solution set has been how much of the solution Americans have been. So sometimes and often when there's tragedy, we feel hopeless or we feel helpless even. What could we have done differently? There's nothing I can do. Tell me what I can do. In this case, Americans, and a lot of your listeners for sure, have listened to the 30 days to slow the spread, practice good hygiene, social distancing, stay at home, wear masks, face cloths, whatever that is. And so I think my message to your listeners today is America is a country that works. And that's literal and figurative. And literally, we're about to go back to work. We're about to have the Great American Comeback reopen. I was in the Situation Room with the President, the Vice President yesterday while they talked to governors for almost 2 hours. 54 of the 55 governors, heads of territories, mayor from D.C. were on the line. And they asked great questions that the President made very clear. You have the latitude, you have the final say in when you're going to reopen, but we're going to give you the tools and we're going to give you the information that you need. But I think many of the governors where you are anxious to get people back to work and make sure that the cure is not worse than the disease.
I agree. And by the way, you know, I'm waiting for a question from the White House press corps that actually corresponds even slightly to things our listeners ask about every day that are, in my mind, constructive, as you say, good suggestions, want to help. Hey, what about this? So maybe we should get a talk radio seat at the White House briefing and, you know, sort of rotate that or something.
I like it.
Yeah. We'll bring questions from real America. You can kind of rotate us around. It'd be wonderful. On the guidelines yesterday, one area that I was a little concerned about was they talked about 14 days of a decline being necessary before your reopening begins. Now, in the case of North Dakota, we've actually had some of our higher numbers in the last couple of days, but they are, you know, they're relatively small, right? They're like a percentage of total tests taken, 3% and 4%, really small. But is that a one size fits all? Is that even if you have 28 tests versus 280, you need 14 days going down? How does that work?
Well, a few things. It's not a one-size-fits-all, but it's also one of the components. So widespread availability of testing, your hospital capacity, whether it's the healthcare workers, the PPE and ventilators, or your sheer number of ICU beds that are available. Scott, we want to make sure that, God forbid, if there is a surge or something becomes a hot spot, that the capacity exists to accommodate that. But I think your own governor, Governor Burgum, who's done a fantastic job and is a friend to those of us here at the White House as well, you know, he just said on Wednesday that he's extending for an additional 10 days restrictions on certain businesses because your cases are climbing. Thank God they're not at a New Jersey or New York level. But at the same time, if you had, you know, on just this Wednesday, you had the single highest single day total to date, even though, thank God, less than 400 confirmed cases, and my thoughts and prayers absolutely go out to the families of those who have perished, I think 9 or 10 at this point. But to me, even if your peak is low, you have to see a decline. But I think for questions like that, they can pose those to Dr. Birx, to Admiral Jawar, to Dr. Fauci and say, hey, here's what we're seeing in North Dakota. Does your projection moving outward see us as becoming a big hotspot? The answer is likely no, because we've been watching the flattening for quite a while now, and there are a few hot spots burgeoning across the country. You're not one of them. But I think what Governor Burgum said is exactly right, that you also need to have robust, widespread capacity, contact tracing, continue to do this social distancing, have a new standard operating procedures for reopening. I think that's important. And here's the other thing. Today, we're going to hear an announcement from the podium about elective procedures. And I think this is important because in so many of our hospitals across our country, elective procedures, elective surgeries, form a backbone of the economic wherewithal for those facilities and clinics and hospitals. And so everybody immediately thinks plastic surgery. No, these are dermatology. This is could be orthodontics or dental. So even things that are relatively non-invasive, quick, and do not require a great deal of PPE, maybe can get back online in many of the places where that would be appropriate. Yeah. And we hear from the hospitals where, you know, look, we drew all that down immediately so that we could surge capacity in these hospitals for COVID-related needs. Some of these hospitals had very few COVID-related needs, thank God. Some are overrun, as we've seen. But this is why the governors and your governor are sort of looking at these guidelines and adapting them for what's best in the state of North Dakota, for example. What I really like is, you know, he's being very specific. I think Governor Burgum is being very specific. And I know you've got listeners across different states. I'm just using one example.
No, he's fantastic.
He's being very specific.
Yeah, he's done an incredible job and really done it well. Our music's starting, so we only have a few seconds left. Minnesota, on the other hand, it did Tim Walz this week, bellyaching that, you know, you guys were supposed to do the test. And now we're supposed to...
Oh, yeah, no, he's telling... I know, but listen, some of these governors, I've never heard him speak up on any of these calls. I've been on all the governors' calls. And some of them who have spoken up, they can't be more grateful and laudatory.
Thankfully.
The president, the vice president, and then they and then they go on TV and they say something else.
It's time to visit your Northern Region New Holland dealer to see the latest over 100 horsepower tractors from New Holland. These leading-edge EcoBlue high ESCR engine technology for increased power, torque, and fuel efficiency, as well as Tier 4B emissions compliance. That's New Holland Smart. Choose from T7, Genesis T8, and T9 series tractors up to 620 rated horsepower. Explore the power of blue today at your local Northern Region New Holland dealer.
North Dakota is building stronger communities by uniting landowners and county officials and supporting more wind power for the prairie. 29 counties are seeing wind energy enhance their schools, roads, and emergency response teams. Landowners support harnessing wind to provide consistent income for 25 years. Together, we can build a better tomorrow with good jobs and stronger communities and keep our electricity rates among the lowest in the country. Paid for by North Dakotans for comprehensive energy solutions.
Hi, this is Troy from CNC Farms of Donnybrook. We're your registered and certified seed dealer. At CNC Farms, we pride ourselves in providing top quality and a wide variety of seed. We offer forage barley, oats, millet, 4010 forage peas, forage mixes, malt barley, flax, durum, chickpeas, green and yellow peas, spring wheat, winter wheat, alfalfa, pasture mixes, beans, and much more. Online at ccseedfarm.com, your registered and certified seed dealer of Donnybrook. Call CNC Farms, 701-482-7865.
Command Center, this is Tierney Assault 1 reporting for duty.
Tierney Assault 1, your assigned mission for today is to erect the world's greatest symbol of freedom, the American flag display.
Affirmative, Command Center, initiating startup sequence. Command Center, all systems go. Tierney Assault 1, preparing for departure.
Tierney Assault 1, you are cleared for departure. Please exit towards freedom and independence and have a good day.
American-made flags and flagpoles installed by an American patriot. Call Jim at 701-571-FLAG or visit ndflagpoleguy.com today.
We have all seen and perhaps used the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you ever noticed how it dries your skin and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? With bacteria and virus problems, sanitizers and hand washing are the first line of defense against infectious disease. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements as set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration as a first aid antiseptic. When it comes to sanitizers, it only makes sense that it lasts till the next application and doesn't dry and crack your skin, inviting infection. For long-lasting alcohol-free sanitizing, come to GCNteam.com keyword antibacterial. That's GCNteam.com, antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
877-878-4203. I meet my buddies out on the lake.
Brought to you in part by Oasis Petroleum, the folks that celebrate the Be the Buffalo spirit. And it's everywhere. Be the Buffalo. You know what the Buffalo does? Goes into the storm. So if you see somebody, first responders, healthcare workers, anybody that has that Be the Buffalo spirit, Oasis Petroleum says, good for you, way to go, and celebrate them. Call the hotline, 855 800-800-1776. Just a couple moments left with Kellyanne Conway, Counselor of the President. So you tell me Tim Walz is silent when he's on the phone, but he's on his media call saying, hey, the President was told us he was going to take care of testing. Now he isn't, so now it's our problem, and that doesn't surprise me. Whose responsibility is it to up the number of tests we take and have access to?
Okay, so the White House put out guidance. It's available to everyone. Everyone can read it, including Governor Walz, but we, the people, can read it as well. Widespread testing, the FDA has been able to approve, whether it's polyester swabs, rapid Abbott rapid testing. The Rutgers University in New Jersey has a saliva test now. There are just so many platforms coming online now that are available to the public that these governors need to figure out what machines they have, what supplies they need, and let us know. We have a whole testing coordinator, Admiral Brett Shapar. But I think it's a little rich to hear from governors who are in charge of their states to constantly just think the federal government is going to supply everything, and including information and infrastructure. And then they turn around and say, oh, well, we're just going to reopen our economies without you. That's fine. But remember, we've been there from the beginning. What FEMA has been able to do, the CARES Act gave every state over $1 billion and then more money according to what their population is. The CARES Act provided small business loans to everyone, including there in Minnesota, people who qualify and who have applied for them, including in Minnesota. We have made available these stand-up testing sites. If people want to talk to their local retailers within their states, they can try to put those together. But you've got Quest, LabCorp, the commercial labs like that. You've got the private labs. You have the public health labs. There are public health labs in Minnesota. One thing that Dr. Birx has made very clear in her very professional and polite way is that some states, they need to take inventory and understand what their capacity is and let us know what that capacity is so we can fill in where there's a lack of capacity or make sure they get the reagents and the supplies they need to run these machines that do the testing. So it's just, I think that Governor Walz, I have never heard him ask a single question. Maybe he did once or twice and I missed it. But you do have a couple of the governors on these calls who could not be more thankful to everything that's been done, and then they go on certain cable news stations, and it's a totally different person. And look, you compare, I think there's also the matter of experience. Some of these governors just have more experience with emergency management, with their hospital systems, and they understand, oh, well, I'm in this area, I'm in this state, so my federal FEMA administrator, my regional FEMA administrator is this person in this state, so let me call them first. A lot of folks aren't doing that. They're just basically saying Donald Trump, Donald Trump, Donald Trump, because that's their answer for everything. Folks, the president has mobilized in unprecedented, massive public-private sectors mobilization to help people to be safe and to mitigate the damage that was surely coming our way with this invisible enemy. And every state has had a case. Every state has been given an emergency disaster declaration approval. First time ever in our nation's history, all 50 states and territories and the District of Columbia have had that at the same time. We did not delay at all when they've asked for that. We've cut through the red tape and issued these FEMA, other deregulations for hospitals, other FEMA actions, and certainly the FDA. I mean, what Administrator Hahn and his team have been able to do at the FDA and what Administrator Verm has been able to do at CMS for the hospitals, they basically have burrowed through and cut down decades, Scott, of regulations and red tape to make sure that we are bringing online therapeutics, rapid testing, hotels to hospitals, reimbursement for these hospitals. How are we doing the $100 billion in the CARES Act that's directly for hospital relief? Well, it's called special enrollment. We have now committed to pay for COVID-related health expenses for people who have been impacted. Think about that. We already are paying for the testing, but now, and Governor Walz, we're already paying for the testing, but now we're paying for the treatment.
So think about that.
For the uninsured, we're paying for your COVID-related expenses. And then that's also plussed up with when you think of the three major insurers who already said they're covering COVID-related expenses for their insured, Blue Cross Blue Shield, Humana, and UHC. That covers about a third of the country.
I did a little poking around on this, and I won't name any names, but I said, okay, well, why is North Dakota able to get all the tests they want and Minnesota not? And basically I was told Minnesota's not as successful at supply chain management as North Dakota is. They just don't, you know, they haven't done it as well. So, I mean, sitting there saying it's somebody else's fault is crazy. I'll leave you with this. Yesterday, we asked a question of our listeners. Later this summer, the rallies will definitely be back. We'll have a sense of normalcy again across America. Things may be a little different, but if you right now heard July 1, that there was a rally at the Fargo Dome that holds 26,000 people. The president once told me he wants to break Elton John's record in that facility that is within an hour's drive of North Dakota, you know, a good chunk of Minnesota and South Dakota. Would you go if the president of the United States held a rally? 100% yes, 0% no, just so you know. So,
it doesn't surprise me at all. The enthusiasm is there. In fact, it's increased, and people are going to come and thank him for his leadership in a global pandemic. You know, when he had his high approval ratings on the handling of the global pandemic, I actually said to the president, this is higher than you've ever had it, according to Gallup, on handling the economy, even though you certainly deserve to have it high. Well, why? Because he's Donald Trump. People voted for him. They assumed he was going to fix the economy. He's a businessman. He was going to come in and reduce taxes on employers and individuals. He was going to deregulate. He was going to open up our energy development safely, including right there where you are. And he's going to make us a net producer of oil, gas, and oil for the first time in our nation's history. He was going to get the Supreme Court and the federal courts all filled with Trump appointees who respect the Constitution, don't think it's a paper towel. He was going to do all these things. We already knew that. Nobody expected he was going to be leading the country out of a global pandemic. And so in that way, people are saying thank you, and thank you for keeping us. And may I say, of course, there will always be opponents. Of course, there will be people who are pushing back. People are partisan. They're petty. All of that. They're blinded by their hatred and their elitism. At the same time, I think the critics have never sounded more shrill and they've never seemed more small. And that's because America has come together and unified against this invisible enemy. And it's just, we're so proud of how Americans have stepped up. And many of them are suffering mental health challenges. They're suffering isolation, economic despair, uncertainty. They fear the virus, but they really fear a lot of economic desperation. And yet, there they are coming together, being part of the solution. And so the ankle biters just seem so particularly petty and petite, if you will. And that's not about any specific person. It's just about this whole genre that can never help themselves. Even during a global pandemic that's hit the United States of America harder than any other country, it's hit New York. If New York were a country, it'd be number two. If New Jersey would be a country, I think it'd be number three or so, right, or number six or seven. So we've got some really steep climbs ahead of us, but we are starting to see across the country governors and mayors and private industry saying, you know what, tell me how to get my workers back up and running and we'll do it. Now, I want to leave you with this. The CDC a week ago put out revised guidance for employees in critical infrastructure. So it's everything from waste management, wastewater, energy, food handling, obviously healthcare workers, first responders, customs and border protection.
I'm Jim of IndieFlagpoleGuy.com, and I invite you to my exciting web and local television series, The Flagpole Guy Chronicles. We're documenting historical events of patriotism all across the Fruited Plain, stories of faith, hope, and love, celebrating the American experience and the American dream. Join me on YouTube. Or check your local listings. And thank you.
American-made flags and flagpoles installed by an American patriot. Call Jim at 701-571-FLAG or visit ndflagpoleguy.com today.
Hi, I'm Elise Pucklich of Pucklich Chevrolet Buick GMC in Valley City. And when we say you drive, we'll ride with you, we mean we'll be with you every step of the way. For over 34 years, we've known the sale of a vehicle is the first step in making you a customer for life. We're family owned and operated, and we care about our community and the people who live here. So experience the difference a car dealer can make at Pucklich Chevrolet Buick GMC in Valley City, where customer satisfaction is our number one priority.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes. Amid so much talk about reopening the U.S. economy despite the pandemic, the White House is now recommending three phases for states to do so. And CDC Director Dr. Robert Redfield says this morning that states will need to follow guidelines closely before making any decisions.
Clearly, really important that the outbreak in these jurisdictions is really declining consistently over 2 weeks period.
CDC Director Robert Redfield on NBC's Today Show. Congress is still working to try to save a stimulus program to help small businesses who are trying to keep paying their workers despite the pandemic. The $349 million Paycheck Protection Program is supposed to be helping them, but it's no longer accepting applications after running out of money. And this is USA Radio News.
Dish TV is better than cable TV. Why? Because you can save 45% on packages compared to your high-priced cable bill. Wow. Take those giant scissors out and cut the cable and save with Dish TV. Plus, you get a free DVR upgrade to record your favorite shows and free installation. And with Dish Anywhere, you can watch TV for free on your mobile device. Act fast. You can save hundreds of dollars. Does your cable company do that for you? I don't think so. Get all the best TV programming at your fingertips at a fraction of the price of cable TV. So say adios, arrivederci, goodbye to the high cable bill, and save up to 45% on Dish TV packages today. These are limited time offers and can change at any time. Call fast. 800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. That's 800-610-5739.
Becky was a beauty from South Alabama. Her daddy had a heart like a 9-pound hammer. Think he even did a little time in the slammer. What was I thinking? She snuck out one night and met me by the front gate. Her daddy came out waving that 12-gauge. We tore out the drive, he peppered my tailgate. What was I thinking? Oh, I knew there'd be hell to pay. But that crossed my
mind. Now we can hear you. That's next hour.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. You're on, Scott.
Where are your pipers?
Really? Huh. What's in your mind? 701-258-0550. 1-800-228-0550. You decided to show back to the show here?
I bumped off the feed button when Kellyanne hung up.
I mean, I know you guys just want to hang out with Washington, D.C. Just be very careful you don't end up part of the problem when you do that, all right?
Swamp. We could end up being the swamp. I wouldn't want that
exactly.
In any way, shape, or form. Yes. Before we get to Lieutenant Governor Brent Sanford, let me tell you a little bit about our friends at Piper's. I was talking to Kevin Piper last night, actually, and I said, hey, how'd that free auction go? Because we had a lot of feedback about the free auction. Of course, it was last week. And he said, oh, really, really, really good. Now, these are online, timed online bidding and auctions that are going right now, so it's different. But they are very busy. People are taking advantage of this and doing it from home, and it's working. So glad to hear that things went so well, and we appreciate folks letting us know that they're excited about these particular auctions that are coming up. There's some timed online bidding auctions that have started today. That is the Auction Center of North America Machinery Auction. That started at 9 this morning. The Stroll Retirement Farm Machinery Auction from Jamestown starts, that's on next Friday. And so check out the whole list at Pipers.com. One of the auctions, it might have been the free auction or one of the other ones last week, they sold a tractor, same model, same everything else. They know the price. So they know the price that tractor sells for versus others. And it was higher than any price that had ever been any tractor had brought since, I forget how long, the beginning of time. I mean, pretty incredible. So they're doing the work at Pipers.com. Great land auctions, too. So check those out. Pipers.com or call 877-700-4099. We did finish our conversation with Kellyanne Conway off the air. And the CDC recommendations that she's talking about there for a number of different businesses Sounds like a good resource. We'll link that and the rest of that interview online. So fun conversation with her today, for sure. The Lieutenant Governor of the great state of North Dakota here. Your calls, questions, comments. Welcome, 701-258-0550. Okay, I'll take this one first before I get to Brent because it's not related for Brent. But Isaiah in Foxholm, you had a question. What was it about?
Well, it wasn't a question. It was more of a statement. I was just going to say that I would show up for any rally tomorrow. I would love to go to a Trump rally. However, I would not vote for the president come November because of the overreaction to the coronavirus. We are going to have a 30%+ unemployment rate, a Great Depression caused by the government. If you work in a private sector job and got laid off, it was Donald Trump, unfortunately, that laid you off. And I love the man. But I cannot support this. The data doesn't back up the CDC. Because you can go to the CDC website, you can look at all their data, and you realize that in the majority of states, even New York State, you get a less than 1% chance of becoming infected. We overreacted from the beginning because we listened to quote-unquote scientists like Dr. Fauci.
Right. You're not alone, Isaiah, on that thought. I mean, I think it's a small percentage of folks overall that feel it was an overreaction. I think then probably the next majority as well. If it was, you know, better safe than sorry, right? We know what happened in 1918. So, you know, we wouldn't want that level of numbers here, right? So I think that comes down to, you know, who do you trust? So I appreciate your opinion and respect it. I will start there with our next guest, Lieutenant Governor Brent Safford. Hello, sir. How are you?
Great. How are you, Scott?
Doing good. Thanks very much. We asked Brent to come on today to talk specifically about businesses, businesses that are covered under the executive orders and also businesses that are not. And if you have questions or comments on any of that, let us have it. But I'm sure you have heard, like we have heard, sentiments like that from Isaiah to say this was an overreaction and more damage was done than is necessary because of that. Do you believe that we are in the position we are in today about reopening because we really did a good job of listening to the experts, or did we overreact because the experts scared us?
Well, hopefully it's because we listen to the experts and we don't have to recreate the wheel in North Dakota, and we're not the first ones to have an outbreak like this. It's like almost everything else. Things happen on the coast, and then we can modify our behavior. We can see what's happening, and then as it gets to the middle of the continent, then we can decide how to react. And we feel in North Dakota smart program put us in this situation, and so here we are with possibly a little bit of victims of our success. And this might, you know, if we have outbreaks later on, this will sound silly, but to this point we are one month into North Dakota Smart and restricting public movement and public spaces. Activity is down as far as, you know, even the cell phone apps where you can show people's activity is down. I mean, and so people have been compliant. We've done a month of social distancing here, and our cases have stayed flat. And there could be a number of different reasons for that. It could be that the virus hasn't picked up. It's spreading in the middle of the country like this, but we're not alone. Wyoming and South Dakota's had the outbreak at the Smithfield plant. Otherwise, the rest of South Dakota, the majority of Minnesota, except for the inner parts of Minneapolis, et cetera, Montana, Wyoming, Utah, Idaho. Idaho had some breakouts at ski resorts. But we can put our finger on where the outbreaks happen. But these rural states that have geographic dispersion have not had that kind of transmission. So there's a couple of reasons for it, but we believe we're in early. We hope that that helped to keep our curve very flat. We hope that it flattens even more. And we look forward to this next 2 weeks of getting North Dakota Smart restart going and having a plan for those restrictions that the executive orders have put in place for coming out of this in May.
Yeah, and really that's where we ought to place our emphasis and our focus anyway, because we are where we are. And whether you believe that was overreaction or whether you believe it was about right, and because of our actions that it's a decent spot compared to some of these hot spots, we still have to get these businesses going and crank back up and everything else. Big picture first, what's your overall gut as far as North Dakota's concerned tell you about, you know, that effort? I mean, are we going to be, seeing the residual challenges in a build back on this 1 year, 2 year from now? Is this a longer term, shorter term? What do you think?
Well, all indications are, since we don't have a vaccine, we're still seeing a growth in cases here. We've got We've been doing targeted testing. But, you know, the thing is, you look at that Smithfield example, there's hundreds of positives, but there's not people going into the hospital from it. So young, healthy workers get this. They have a really bad flu episode at home, basically, where they've got a respiratory flu that's stronger than usual, but they're not ending up hospitalized, and they're certainly not passing away from it. So there's going to be outbreaks for the next however long until there's herd immunity built up and there's vaccines in place. And so if you look at 1918 and 1919, you had spring of 18, then you had a really bad outbreak with more fatalities in the fall of 1918. And then you had another outbreak of the Spanish flu in the spring of 19. So, you know, we don't know. We can look to the past. We can look at other pandemics and say that this is going to be with us for a year. And so how are we going to deal with it? We do have to get back out in the open, and the economy has to get moving. People have to get back to work, but we'll have to be North Dakota smart as we're protecting our vulnerable population. As we're, you know, what are those ongoing nursing home protections? What are those ongoing protections for the vulnerable population? What does the vulnerable population need to do as society starts to open up more this summer than what it is today? And so that'll be critical. You know, what does our new world look like after COVID-19?
For someone, the vast majority of businesses are not covered by any kind of an executive order. In other words, the government saying, here, because we have this health emergency, you need to do this. The vast majority are not. Most folks are doing things on their own, you know, having people social distance, having more hand sanitizers, those kind of things. So what advice do you have to people right now today that are not covered by any executive order businesses? Should they reopen and go to it and just be smart about it, or what's your advice for them?
Well, number one, the point is we didn't restrict you. So I've been getting so many questions of when can we open elective surgeries? When can we open the small retail stores? When can we open the small service provider businesses? And none of those are restricted. So that's a lot of self, you know, I would say responsible, probably self-restriction, or maybe their business model is such that there's no one buying. But these are closures that were not as a result of the governor's executive orders. The governor's executive orders are very clear. And it's a lot less overarching than what you see in the stay-at-home state, the shelter-in-place state. We have restaurants, bars, gyms, theaters. There's some travel quarantining-type executive orders. And then we have the personal care executive order that went out later that was hair, nails, tattoo parlors, et cetera. And so that's a pretty short list. I think if you're Governor Walz in Minnesota and you have thousands of different essential service exceptions you have to manage, that's when everybody's asking us questions, am I an essential service or not? Well, that's a Minnesota, that's a shelter-in-place state type activity. We don't have that. We have the few that were affected, and everyone else can get back to work.
And
It's on their own, and they've all got protocols. They've all got, the dentists, for instance, have safety protocols going forward because they're concerned about their own employees. So more hand sanitizer, masks if you're very close proximity. You know, those different protections are all up. The PPE standards are going to be different for businesses and entities and organizations that have closed because of this.
But that isn't a recommendation. I mean, that isn't a mandate. That's just something they do on their own, and probably is good business because people are going to be concerned when they do come back. So that's just smart business, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so, I mean, again, that's just to use common sense. And I think North Dakota's done a pretty good job of using common sense to this whole dang thing. Speaking of elective surgeries, Kellyanne Conway just told us that there is an announcement coming from the White House today on that they really believe that hospitals should, you know, should do that, should get back to that, because it's a profit center and it's important to the, you know, financial stability of the healthcare industry. But to be clear, the governor nor the government of North Dakota never said healthcare institutions don't do elective surgeries, right?
There was never an executive order on that, correct?
Yeah. You know, again, some of this stuff has just been decisions that have been made, and that's had a financial impact. Now, I guess I could argue, in the middle of a ramp up to have the correct amount of capacity, wondering when people are coming in with COVID to hospitals or being tested for COVID, you don't know if they have it, separating somebody coming to the, you know, same waiting room for a, you know, elective surgery, probably not the best prospect at the time we found ourselves. So it is what it is now, but certainly nothing holding anybody back. Okay, let's shift to those covered by the executive orders. next. And Bob from Minot Guy.
Precision Concrete Cutters and Ramjack North have joined forces. We've been providing you with top-notch foundation repair solutions. Call 701-280-7038 and ask about our winter discount, or go online to pccnd.com.
We've got Brian in studio from Collins and Kronk Raymond James.
Brian, I was visiting with my girlfriend the other day, and she's just a few years from retirement. She was wondering if she can still retire if there's a recession just around the corner.
This is why planning is so important. When Collins and Kronk does a financial plan for you, we look at several different scenarios. We consider the positives or the good times, as well as the bad. What if there is a recession? We do the math so we can answer your questions with confidence. We want to help you make smart decisions like when to retire or what investments to use.
Whether it's a recession or an economic boom, Collins & Kronk can help you make the right decisions. If you have $500,000 or more, call Collins & Kronk in Fargo today. 701-235-0119. 701-235-0119. Securities are offered through Raymond James Financial Services, Inc. Member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Raymond James Financial Services Advisors, Inc. Collins & Kronk is not a registered broker-dealer and is independent of Raymond James Financial Services.
Attention mineral owners, you have to check out Mineral Tracker. It is an online tool that will help you manage your assets. Many mineral owners want to manage their own interests, but it can be daunting. Mineral Tracker makes it easy. Use our self-audit tool to make sure that you're being paid correctly every month. Plus, you can see what your future income projections look like. Go to MineralTracker.com today to activate your free account. It's free. Or call the Mineral Tracker guys at 833-842-2924.
Since Precision Concrete Cutters and Ramjack North have joined forces, we've been providing you with top-notch foundation repair solutions. Call 701-280-7038 and ask about our winter discount, or go online to pccnd.com.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
This is a pandemic survival alert, and the most time-sensitive messages you will hear this year. You still have time to plant a one-acre crisis garden and secure a supply of your own nutrient-dense food. But time is running out, and it's one deadline you don't want to miss. Who should plant a crisis garden? Individuals, families, churches, communities, anyone, or any group that sees hard times ahead. Let's face it, even the mainline media is talking about food supply disruptions and the growing number of grocery store workers who are becoming sick. But there's more. Meat packing plants are closing, mile-long lines at food pantries, and more farmers now in financial trouble. The truth is, growing nutrient-dense vegetables this summer may be the single most important thing you do. Go to survivalseedbank.com and watch the new video to understand what we're really up against. Get free bonus seeds, special quarantine reports, too. Don't wait. Every minute counts. Go to survivalseedbank.com. That's survivalseedbank.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
All right, the weekend is here. You're going to spend some time thinking about the future, what's, you know, the job prospects out there. What am I going to do? Am I going to, you know, switch things up a little bit? Here's what I would like you to include in your thinking, okay? That is a education from the University of Marion. Because times of uncertainty bring both stress and opportunity. And while you're adapting to new ways of living and working and looking at other opportunities, why not do something positive during these stressful times? You know, and that is where the University of Mary comes in. Learning is an accomplishment. Nothing can take that away. It's a long-time gift to yourself and your family. So if you've ever wanted to expand your skills, didn't feel you had the time to devote to it, You Mary wants to serve you. Academic certificate, credential, credit for work you've done in the business field, whatever area interests you, business, counseling, healthcare, education, You Mary has online certificate and credential programs that will help you achieve your goals. Tell them you heard this on What's On Your Mind. They'll waive the application fee to get you going. Just check out your options. Online.umary.edu/certificates to find out more. Lieutenant Governor Brent Sanford is here. So let's switch to folks that are covered under the executive orders. How do they reopen? When do they reopen?
Well, the North Dakota Smart Restart that was rolled out this week by the governor is that Commerce, under the Business Resiliency Task Force, they're going to be tasked with visiting with the restaurants, bars, gyms, theaters, personal care businesses that are covered under the executive orders for the rest of the month, and putting together restart protocols. And the information put out by the president on recommendations for that, and on the infection controls and the personal protective equipment will be all part of it. Limiting traffic, how many, you know, people per square foot, you know, the social distancing, how do you exercise social distancing in these types of businesses. And so that's the effort that has to go in overdrive the rest of this month. And then when April 30th rolls around, looking at what the cases are looking like and what the outbreak looks like, what the hospitalizations are looking like, that we're ready to go if it looks like the movement of other states in our situation and the society itself and the cases are allowing, a gradual restart reopening to begin. You know, but we have to be ready. So the next 2 weeks is critical.
If I'm a restaurant or a bar and I want to reopen the second I can, I'm ready to go. I'm in a small town. There's not a lot of places to eat. I go to the Commerce Department and say, okay, you know, help me with best practices from other places. Here's what I'm thinking. Okay, we'll have 20 tables instead of 40 tables. We'll have hand sanitizer. We'll have, masks on the bartenders, whatever. Then Commerce says, you got a good plan? Go for it. You're good to go?
Well, that's the plans that need to be happening. And then there will be an organized effort and presentation to the governor, obviously, and to the decision making team about how the executive orders. The key will be, you know, what happens then on April 30th? Are the executive orders extended, or are they not? Or most likely, there's going to be something in between, as you're seeing the planning from the president on down and from the other states. It's more of a graduated rollout versus just a open the door, right? And so, but getting these plans together, we're saying, let's put the impetus on ourselves. Let's come in. Let's have the great reopening plans identified, such as we've received plans from grocery stores and dentists, et cetera, on what it would look like. This is what it would look like when we fully reopen, okay? And grocery stores weren't supposed to be closed, but they have their own plans of what they want to see for personal protective equipment, distancing, et cetera. That's great. That's proactive. That's what needs to happen from those businesses that are impacted from the executive orders. And that's
my advice, this is Scott Hannon, but my advice to anybody under the executive order is be aggressive. Have conversations right now. Ask questions. Get a plan together and get that there, because of the majority of people, hair care salons, personal services, restaurants, bars that are covered, have ongoing active conversations with the Commerce Department. There's less need for the executive orders. So, a good partnership there for sure. Let me get Bob in Minot in here. He's been waiting to ask you a question. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, got a question or a thought. And I'd like to thank the governor and lieutenant governor for doing a good job, but the governor's really been stuck on this, watching out for the elderly in the nursing homes. Was this ever thought about, is that they do something like they do out in the oil field? You have your employees at these facilities work 5 days on, 5 days off. The staff is there, the day staff, the night staff. They stay at the facility, and they do their 5 days. Then they can go home, and the other shifts come in for 5 days. You have way less people that are – nobody can go visit anyway. They can get tested when they come back. And now you've only interrupted a small portion of the population instead of shutting everything down for a smaller percentage of the population. And I myself have been in business for a long time, but I have family members that are in business that are under the mandatory shutdown. And then you can go to other places where they have the plexiglass up. These service industries that they're running, the sanitation stuff that they use actually says coronavirus on it, and yet they're the ones that are going to be penalized the longest. I think this is something to ask Kevin Kramer, too, is those are the businesses that are going to need the most help, because we got our PPP money, but in 30 days to 60 days, our
Hang on one sec, Bob. We're going to have to finish this off the air here. With Brent Sanford.
Ryan Wiggy is with us from Red Trail Energy in Richardton, North Dakota.
We produce 64 million gallons of ethanol annually. Now, in order to do that, you know, we procure about 23 million bushels of corn annually, and 98% of that is bought directly off the farm across 32 counties in North Dakota, in northwestern South Dakota, eastern Montana. So that in itself, obviously, is a huge economic impact, you know, for the agriculture community out here. It's nice to know that part of the tax revenue that we generate here, especially for the city of Richardton, you know, they just finished building a new school, and knowing that part of our tax dollars helped aid in that construction of a new school is a pretty good feeling for us here at Red Trail.
Why should North Dakotans use ethanol?
I truly believe ethanol is a much better product than it gets credit for. It's a high-octane fuel. It reduces our greenhouse gas emissions drastically. When you're putting ethanol in your vehicle, you're more likely either supporting yourself or somebody you know within the agricultural community.
Ethanol and agriculture are one, and building better communities. Find out more at ndethanol.org.
This is a Corona Crisis Self-Reliance Alert. If you're worried about the power grid in the current crisis and want to generate your own supply of off-the-grid electrical power, just in case, pay close attention. Here's why. A limited supply of solar backup generators will be available again in the next 2 weeks. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving electrical backup power when you get off the grid. And unlike gas generators, these solar generators run quietly, emit no fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Dangerous weather, social unrest, or overloaded grids this summer will not be a problem if you go to mysolarbackup.com and get your solar backup generator. We regret that supplies are limited and only available on a first-come, first-served basis. Check availability at mysolarbackup.com. Never suffer painful power outages again. Go to mysolarbackup.com. That's mysolarbackup.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.